Good morning. It's good to have Ryan back with us after being gone for 3 weeks on his trip to Canada. We thank God that he's gifted and talented and back with us. So it's good to see you all today. Thanks for coming to the house of the Lord. And, some of you haven't seen for a while. And that's not good or bad. I just haven't seen you. And we're just so glad you're here. And I hope you're glad to be here. Are you glad to be here? Praise the Lord. It's good to worship God together, isn't it? Good to sing his praises. Thank you, Ryan, for leading us in that. Open your Bibles, if you would, with me to Genesis chapter 1. It's the very first scripture in your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the chairs in front of you. Genesis chapter 1. We're talking in a series, The Glory of God in Creation. We're talking about the days of creation. And this morning, this message is really part two of the beginning of what I started last week and on day four, creation of day four. And if you weren't here last week, I challenge you to go back to the website, sancarloscommunitychurch.com, and punch on sermons, and you can listen in and catch up with us. And I don't know about you, I'm enjoying the trip. I love this series. I love studying this, and I love bringing it to you. And God's teaching me so much, and He's expanding my the things we've been talking about this morning, or in singing, are my scope of His horizon and how big and marvelous and wonderful He is. And I want you to know that during the week I'm praying for you. I'm praying specifically for you that your awe and your wonder of God is ever increasing as we study Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 together. And I'm praying that as we share these times together on Sunday mornings, that you're being drawn upward to God. Your heart's being drawn upward to the most magnanimous, marvelous, out of sight, out of this world, insensible God that He is, that I can't grab enough words to describe how He is. He's incomprehensible. I mean, how do you get your mind around the God of the universe, who created it all and set it all in place and spoke you into being? And I'm just praying that you're being drawn upward in your heart to Him, and that your heart will increase in these days in knowing Him and hungering and panting after Him by hungering and panting after His Word. That you'll know Him more intimately as God, Elohim, Creator. The beginning, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You know, David wrote in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 4, he said, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Are you? Are you calling on that God who is worthy to be praised? He deserves your praise. He deserves our worship. And I hope you're giving it to Him because He's worthy. He's so very, very worthy. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 19 verses starting in verse 1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Verse 6. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse, and it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants, yielding seed and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. Now comes day four, the day that we're concentrating on today. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. We're in day four of creation. It's the day that God created. Last week we talked about this, the day he created the luminaries, the sun, the moon, and the stars. It's the day that he took them, created them, and placed them in the sky. And it's the day on day four that he took the light that was already created in day one, and he attached the light to the luminaries. Now, I gave you a small lesson last week on the speed of light and on the size of the Milky Way universe that we're located in. Do you remember that? The speed of light travels at 186,000 miles per second, or about 6 trillion miles per year. It's exceedingly fast. And we said last week that if from the beginning point today, if light took off and began to travel at 186,000 miles per second, 6 trillion miles per year, it would take 50,000 years for that light beam just to reach the center of the Milky Way galaxy in which we're in. 50,000 years just to reach the center of the vastness of the Milky Way system. And the Milky Way system, we're told by scientists, astrologers, whatever you want to call them, that is only one of many, many, many galaxies that exist out there. They estimate up to 100 billion galaxies are in existence in this place called the expanse that God created on day two. Now, you have to remember something. You have to remember that when science gives us figures like that, 100 billion galaxies, and they estimate that there's 200 to 400 billion stars in the Milky Way system, you have to remember that they're only estimates. And you have to remember that science doesn't always get it right. They haven't gotten the age of the Earth right. They call it billions and billions and billions of years old. They're wrong. I believe firmly they're wrong according to the scripture. So don't hold them to the fact that there's 100 billion galaxies laying out there somewhere and 400 billion stars in the Milky Way. There's a lot of them, we know that. It's an unending expanse. But let me give you another short science lesson as I try to each week. Let me give you one today. Just to raise again your level of understanding of the comprehensiveness of God in the expanse of his being creator. And then we'll talk this morning, a little bit later here, about the three functions of the lights that God created in day four. Now let's drop down for a moment. Let's come down from the vastness of the universe and the Milky Way system and 100 billion systems and 200 to 400 billion stars in the universe. And let's just come down today to the smallest part of creation, the human cell and the DNA code that is written within each cell. This is the material we're talking about this morning for our little lesson that carries the life code, the function of every organism, DNA. You know it. Are you familiar with it? DNA exists in every cell within your body. In every single cell, there is a code written. Now, science tells us, again, it's estimates, but we go for it. Thank you very much. I don't know why my voice goes on Sunday mornings. I talk all week long, and I never have this problem. But I get up here, and it's gone. Thank you, Becky. DNA exists in every single cell in your body. And science estimates that you alone, have 100 trillion cells within your body. 100 trillion. Think about that. Get your mind around that one. You can't, can you? I can get my mind on 100. I can even get my mind around 1,000 or maybe 10,000. I can't get my mind around 100,000 trillion, 100 trillion, excuse me, cells or so. Listen, every one of those cells in your body has a little strip inside of it. It's like a little tiny coil that's inside that cell. It's a physical strip of DNA, of code written in that strip. So you have a cell with a strip of DNA inside of it. It's important to understand that that strip is a coil. It's all rolled up kind of like this inside your cell. Inside your cell. And every single cell exists with this coil of code inside of it, and you have 100, just think about it, you have 100 trillion cells like that inside of you with 100 trillion codes curled up with a DNA code written across that strip inside that cell. Now, on that strip, those of you who are into science, I never was, never used to be, but within that little code, there are 46 segments. We call them chromosomes. We learned that in school, I think. I never could spell that word. 23 from your father, 23 from your mother. And those 46 brought together are the things that form the very, very unique you. It's who you are. They determine what you look like. They determine a lot about you, about your personality. And those 46 chromosomes written in that little strip inside your cell determine your abilities and whether you're artistic or whether you're athletic or whether you're going to be some whatever. And very precisely, God has written that code. It determines exactly how every single cell in your body is to function throughout your entire lifetime. Let me say it like this. That single cell operates off of that little coil of information code that's written on that strip of DNA. Now, I'll give you a living example. You know that I have a skin issue. It's called pigmentation issue. It's called vitiligo. Somewhere in the lineage of my heritage, my grandfather, Hubert, Ernest R. Hubert, had this exact same condition. Skipped over my father, skipped over my mother, and it came down. Skipped over my three brothers, as far as I know, and it came down to me. Somewhere in my DNA code, in some cells within my body that pigment, that color the condition of my skin, there's a code written that says, at the age of 33, Rich Hubert's going to begin to start turning white. And that's when it began to happen. Now, let's uncoil one of those little strips, shall we? Let's take it out of there. If you take one of those 46 segments of DNA in one of your cells, and every one of your cells has them, every 100 trillion of them, and if you take one of those cells and you could pull that strip of coil out of that cell and you could begin to stretch it out and unfurl it, it would stretch out so that it would be 7 feet long in existence. Now this, from this finger to this finger is 6 feet. I'm 6'2". So 7 feet long. So add this much additional length to my arm reach, and that little strip of code inside of you is 7 feet long, and every 100 trillion cells inside of you has one of those 7 foot long strips of DNA written about you. Are you with me? Here comes the amazing part. If you could take all the DNA in your body and you could pull all that code out and you could stretch every one of those 100 trillion strips out and stretch them out 7 feet long and you could connect them together, it would stretch from here to the moon 1.5 million times out of your body. Just your body alone. If you could attach those 7 foot long strips end to end to end out of 100 trillion cells within you, you could stretch it to the moon 500,000 times. And I don't know how they calculated this, but here comes another one. If you could take all the DNA code written about you in each of those little strips and you could put it on typewritten paper in written form, all the DNA code out of your 100 trillion cells, science has estimated that it would fill the Grand Canyon from you alone 50 times in typewritten form. You have that much DNA code written about you. I can't get my head around that. I tried and I thought and I pondered that this week and I'm going, what in the world? But is it any wonder? The psalmist had his head around it. When he says in Psalm 139 verse 14, this is how fearfully and wonderfully you and I are made in the uniqueness of God. So you can go, the point is this, here's the end of the lesson. You can go from the farthest vastness expanses of the universe where there's 100 billion possible galaxies out there with 200 to 400 billion stars in the Milky Way system alone and lights traveling at 186,000 miles a second and whatever it was per year, 6 trillion miles per year. Or you can come down to the complexity of one little tiny cell in you and all the DNA code that's written about you, and you can stretch that out and it's 7 feet long and there's 100 trillion of those 7 foot long codes inside of you, and all you're going to see is the hand of an intelligently, wonderfully, absolutely marvelous creator God. And I should be able to stop right here this morning and we ought to fall on our faces before him and say, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. He's enough. He's enough for you. He's enough for me. And just knowing that is enough for you that you ought to be drawn upwards in worship and praise and honor of him. Well, what do we make out of all this? Well, I'll tell you what I make out of it as I study this more and more. I believe it takes a lot more faith to be an evolutionist than it does to believe in God as creator. People who believe in creationism, simply all they have to do is look and they can see all the evidence around them. We can look up into the heavens. We can see the sun rise every day and the moon come out at night. We can see the stars shining brightly. We can look at our own bodies and we can see ourselves and we know how we function in the most intimate of ways. And we see all the evidence. It's all there. We are physically, literally, the evidence of the Creator God. You are the evidence of God. But evolutionists, they look and they look and they look some more and they still can't find true answers. That's because evolutionism can't be proven. It's not true. And that's why they have to continue to look and look and look. And they've been looking all these hundreds of thousands of years. But as the Bible states, all creation testifies of its creator. Because in the beginning was God. And God created the heavens and the earth. Now let's go to our text this morning, verse 14. We're finally going to get there. Are you with me? It's a little warm in here today. Let's go to our text, verses 14 and 19, and the creation of the luminaries, the sun, the moon, and the stars. And we're going to talk this morning for just a few moments, a little bit, about the three functions of the luminaries Verse 14, look at it with me if you would. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Let there be lights in the expanse of the heaven, the luminaries, to separate the day from the night. Understand that each of these three functions are introduced with the phrase, let there be, or let them be. That's used over and over and over in chapter 1. Let them be, or let there be. And the first function then we see here in verse 14 is that they're used to separate the day from the night. So the first function is to separate. That's the function of the sun and the moon. Now, in order to separate something, what happens? Something has to already exist. And these two things must already be in existence. What are they? Darkness was already in existence. On day one, darkness covered the void and the formlessness of the earth as the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. It says there in verse 2 of day 1. And light also came into existence in day one because God spoke it into being on day one. He said, let there be light, and there was light, the scripture tells us. This also, so we already have light, and we already have darkness in existence before day four ever happens, the creation of the luminaries. It's important to understand that. And this also affirms something else. It also affirms that day, D-A-Y, quote unquote, already existed before the sun and the moon and the stars came into being. So we already have light, we already have darkness, we already have day. And just to remind you, as we said last week, the sun is not the cause of daylight. In our world, it is. But back then, it wasn't. Because there had already been three periods of daylight and three periods of darkness in day one and day two and day three. Before day four in the creation of the luminaries ever happened, there was already night and day, day and night, night and day. On day four, God created the bearers of that light and he gave them the task of separation, to separate the day from the night. Now from our standpoint, as I already said, the sun does that for us. I mean, we stand here and we know, oh, it's sun up. It's time to get out of bed. And we say, oh, the sun's going down. And Karen stands on the beach and she goes, oh, isn't that the most beautiful thing in all creation? And every day she fawns over the sunset. It just does something in her heart. And I'm going, yeah, it's another day. But she just loves to watch the sunset. And the moon. And the moon does its job. It comes out at night and we watch it and we watch it change and shape and form because of the shading of the moon. And it brings us darkness. It reminds us of the night along with the stars. So the first purpose of the luminaries is to separate. Now the second function of the luminaries, it was to dominate. Was to dominate. Look again with me at the second half of verse 14. And let them, there it is, there's that phrase, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Let them be for signs and seasons, for days and for years. Y sirvan de señales para las estaciones, para días y años. Let them be. Let them be. In Hebrew, in the original language, the word is hayah, H-A-W-Y-A-W. Let them be, which means to serve. To serve. In other words, it could be translated, let them be means let them serve. Let them dominate to serve. What kinds of signs? Well, the word there is oath in Hebrew. It says let them be for signs, for oath in Hebrew. It means let them be as signs to the inhabitants of the earth. That's for you and I. What were they signs of? Well, it tells us here in the verse. They were signs pointing to the seasons, to the days, and to the years. Las estaciones, to the las días, to the años. The sun and the moon and the stars were pointing as signs to the seasons, to the days, and the years. Well, we follow the moon, don't we? I mean, it gives us the lunar months, January, February, all the way through December. And we follow, the moon determines the months of the years, and the sun determines our seasons, winter, spring, summer, fall. We follow all that because the earth is tilted on its axis positionally, and it's always rotating in and of itself, rotating, and then it's also rotating around the sun, and there's a double orbit going on here. The earth is tilted, and at a certain season in the year, it's a farther distance away from the sun. It's our winter time, and it gets cooler, and as that earth comes around the sun, it gets warmer and warmer, and pretty soon we have spring, and then we have summer, and then it begins to cool down again, and it's fall. It was given par la estaciones for the seasons, to determine the seasons, but also to determine the days. It determines the days of the week, the days of a 24-hour day, excuse me. The sun comes up, it's morning. It goes down at night, and it comes back up in the morning. It determines the days. These luminaries were literally to divide time of the seasons and the days and the years. And God designed the sun and the moon to function in determining all of that. But he also determines the years, not just the seasons. Because it takes one full year. If this is the sun and the earth is rotating around the sun, it takes one entire year for the earth to rotate all the way around the sun. 365-day time period. So God created the sun and God created the moon, and they're the agency that God designed by which we get our seasons, by which we get our calendar year. Therefore, these created luminaries literally serve us. Let them be for signs. Let them be to serve us by telling us when to work and when to rest. You might ask, well, Rich, if it's the signs for the seasons and for the days and the years, what about the week? The week, the seven-day week, what about that? Well, the sun and moon tell us about the seasons and the years and the days, the 24-hour days. But they don't tell us anything about the week. There's nothing. There is nothing in the luminaries that God has put in the heavens to tell us about the seven-day week, Sunday through Saturday. Nothing. But yet, universally, over the entire face of the planet Earth, the seven-day week is embraced. Why is that? Ask yourself that. Should I tell you? You want to know? It's not complicated. It's because it came right out of Genesis chapter 1. That's where it came from. The seven-day week came right out of Genesis chapter 1, the creation story. That was the period of time in which God created the universe. 6 days he created it. On the seventh day he looked at it and he rested. And that's been universally adopted throughout the world. So first of all, the luminaries were given to separate. Second of all, they were given to dominate. They literally dominate our lives. The sun, the moon, and the stars give us the seasons, the days, and the years. And in that way, they dominate and control human life. Here's the third function. They're given us to illuminate. Verse 15 says, "And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth, and it was so." Why were the luminaries given? The luminaries were given just to illuminate, just to provide light during the day and light at night through the darkness. Doesn't get any simpler than that. It's not complicated. It's just what God gave us. To separate, to dominate, to illuminate. And I love this, that last phrase there, "and it was so." Ifue asi. And it was so. What does that mean? It means, and it was permanent. It was established and it was permanent. It means that at creation, there was a firm and fixed and established condition. Ephuiasi. It was so. This is the way it is, God said. And it was established. It was complete. And that's the way it's operated from the day of creation and day four. A man by the name of Umberto Casutu, who is not a Christian believer. He's a Jewish man, a Jewish writer. He writes from his own understanding of Genesis, even though he's not a believer in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But this is what he says of this Genesis happening, of this particular verse here. He says, and it was so, and it remains so through all the life of the universe. Even a non-believer, Umberto Casutu, found enough faith to understand that when God established the luminaries and attached light to them and put them into the expanse of the heavens, he made that permanent. And he has kept them there. And it will remain permanent until the heavens and the earth pass away. Did you know there's a new heaven and a new earth coming? Are you ready for it? There's a day coming when the sun will shine no longer, because the glory of God will illuminate the earth. Are you ready? Are you ready? God made it. He fixed it. It was established exactly as Psalm 33 verse 9 describes it. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. And there it is. Day 4 of creation. Turn with me this morning as we bring this to a conclusion to Psalm 136. Psalm 136, it's page 520 in your Bible. 520. I want to read the first 9 verses, verses 1 through 9. Psalm 136, verse 1. I've got it in Espanol up on the PowerPoint for our friends. Psalm 136, verse 1, page 520. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who spread out the earth above the waters, for his steadfast love endures forever. To him who made the great lights, for his steadfast love endures forever. The sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. The moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. Do you get it? Are you getting it? Creation. All that God has made and all that God has put into place, everything that he and he alone has given birth to through creation, including you, everything is designed out of the steadfast love of God, which endures forever and ever and ever. Friend, drink that inside of your heart. Drink that in your mind. You are God's steadfast love. You're his. He loves you that much. Let me tell you something. This is really, really important. It's really important because if you're out there wavering, if you're out there not knowing whether to believe God is creator or whether to believe evolution, listen, evolution cannot love you and it will not love you. Evolution won't die for you. Evolution won't forgive your sin. Evolution won't make your sin as pure and white as snow. Evolution has not risen from the dead for you. Evolution did not go to the cross for you. Evolution will not give you eternal life. Instead, it will bring you to the judgment of God and condemnation and separation from God into eternal hell. It will lead you down that path, believe me. Because there is nothing in evolution that's satisfying nor fulfilling in believing in nothing. It's empty, it's voidless, it's vicious, it's a vicious cycle of nothingness. It's totally incomplete because it leads nowhere. It's an ever-ending cycle of nothingness. It's empty. But faith and trust in God who created you and who loves you with a steadfast love that endures forever, that never wavers, that never fades, that never disappears, that is worth having. It's worth having. And you need that. I hope you have that. You can sleep in peace when you have that kind of love from God. You can live your life in the fullness of joy when you know that kind of love from God. You can have faith and confidence in Jesus Christ, His Son, whom He sent here to live and to die and to be living again out of the resurrection of the grave for you. And you can sleep in peace and joy, no matter how difficult and tough life gets. There's an internal contentment that floods your soul when you believe God for who He is. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Listen, the psalmist had it right here. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament display His handiwork. There's not any other explanation. God created it, and He created you, and you and I must embrace that truth for all that it is in truth of His creation, because His name is Elohim. He's the Creator in Hebrew, Elohim. And what an incredible and wondrous thing that the God of the universe cares that much about you and me, that He knows you, He knows me, He wrote that DNA code strip out about you 100 trillion times inside of you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And He understands the 500,000 trips to the moon that connect your DNA when they're connected together. He knows every one of those 100 trillion cells in you and the code that's written on each one of them inside of you. He understands everything about you, the good, the bad, the ugly. He knows you. He knows you. And everywhere you look, you see His majesty, His marvelous, creative majesty, His wonder. Everywhere you look, you see God. His hand is all over us. Anything less, listen, let me sum it up with this. Anything less for you and I than a life of worship to Him is an affront to God. Are you living for Him? Are you living for Him? Or are you living against Him? The only way that you and I can truly worship God is to love and worship His Son, Jesus Christ. Because in creation, our creation that in which we live, God sent His Son down here to become one of us. He didn't create His Son. He just sent Him here. And He gave Him a body like ours so that we could identify with the Son. And John would write in the Gospel of John chapter 1, "And we beheld His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." You see, He came here to be one of us. He came here to die as one of us for us. And He came here to live again so that you and I could live for eternity with Him forever and ever. We could be saved from our sin. We could be born again into the kingdom of God. And we could know without a shadow of a doubt that when you and I leave this earth, this created planet, we could know where we're going. Because we're connected to the one true God through His Son, Jesus Christ. World without end. Amen. We have to call out with our voice, Lord Jesus, save us. Save me. I repent and I turn to you as my Lord and Savior. Por la fe. Arrepentirnos. Excuse me. Por la fe debemos arrepentirnos. Y recibir el perdonar. El perdón de Dios a través de Jesucristo. A través de Jesucristo. And he will give you eternity in your heart. Let's pray together. We must call out to him. Father Jesus, Lord God of heaven and earth, our Creator, we call on you today. Save us, Lord. Save us in Jesus' name. Lord, do a work in us. Lord, whether we have doubts and we have a lack of confidence and a lack of trust, Lord, would you wash them and sweep them out of our lives? Lord, may we be like the man who came to Jesus for healing and Jesus said, do you have faith? And the man said, I do. But God, take the lack of faith that I still have and take it away from me. And God, that's my prayer for us today, that you would take our lack of faith and you would wash it out of our souls, wash it out of our minds, wash away our doubts and our fears. And God, give us a full confidence in you, Lord Jesus. God, help us to call out to you with our voice for salvation. Cuando usted pide en la invoz la salvación de Jesucristo, a través de Jesucristo. Help us to call out to you, God. Thank you, God, that you've promised us your salvation. Dios le promete a usted la salvación. God, do that work in us. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen.